Well, if you would open up with me tonight to Job chapter 3. And I'm not really going to preach on Job too much, but I had to start there. Hallelujah. Because that's what my notes say. Right now I can't think of anything. Hallelujah. That's why we write notes down, isn't it? Because sometimes you're like, what am I going to do? I'm glad I wrote something down. Oh, but we'll get something. I've got faith, people. You got faith? Because we can receive anything. Anything. Anything we want from God, as long as it's promised to us in His Word. There is nothing being held back. Well, God's just holding back. No, you're holding back. Stop holding back. Get right in there and take it. Remember? The woman with the issue of blood. It wasn't her. It wasn't the robe that she touched. It was the anointing, and the anointing was there. Where do you think the anointing is now? It's everywhere, but it's specifically in His Word. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is reach out and grab a hold of that, and you can have anything you want. Anything. Whatever the Word says, you can have it. It's anointed. Do you think His Word's anointed?
Yes.
God's Word? Every word? Absolutely. That means it'll bring itself. It has the anointing to bring itself to pass in your life. I don't care what word it is. If it says by His stripes you were healed, then if you just grab onto the anointing in that word, you will be healed. Every time. Irregardless of you touching my robe or anybody else's robe. Where's the anointing? The anointing's in the Word. It's always in the Word. Glory be to God forever. You guys are going to get it tonight. Hallelujah. I found my rope. It's the dope rope. Job 3:25. See, I don't care. As long as I get my fix, I'm good. I can get up here and just skip around and twitch, and I don't care anymore. Because I've got my, I'd even skip. We would have to edit the tape afterwards, but I would do it. Because I don't care. You lose your inhibitions, don't you? You wonder why I would never do that under normal circumstances. Well, this now is the normal circumstance, kids. Holy Ghost is normal. Not Holy Ghost, that's abnormal. Don't let your friends tell you anything different. This is normal. Holy Ghost Christianity is normal. Laying hands on people and watching them recover is normal Christianity. It's abnormal not to do that. It's abnormal not to speak in tongues an hour a day. That's weird. That's perverted Christianity. They're perverts. They've perverted Christianity. They don't pray in tongues. They have. They've perverted it. I've never heard it put that way before. Well, good. That's what you get for putting me up front here. I'm going to say it the way it is. It's perverted Christianity. They've perverted the truth of the gospel and turned it into something else. Are you a Christian pervert?
No.
We're not going to have any perverted Christians. It's perverted if you're not in the Word and you're not in the Holy Ghost. It's perverted. And people try to operate the gifts of the Spirit out in this perverted realm. It's not right. Leave it alone. If it doesn't have Holy Ghost and Word written all over it, don't touch it. It'll contaminate you. I don't know where that came from, but Jesus is Lord. Did you find Job 3:25 yet?
Yes.
You guys knew where I was going with this. Hallelujah. Job, did he have some issues?
Yes, he did.
He didn't think he did at first until God showed up and shook his bones a bit. Said, who are you talking to? I'm Almighty God. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you, Mr. Self-Righteous? He's like, oops, I guess I've been poking the bear too many times. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Let me ask you a question real straight. Was Job in faith? If something he greatly feared came on him, then he was not in faith, was he? He couldn't possibly have been. In fact, he had greatly developed this fear. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but fear is the same thing as faith on the opposite side. You can greatly fear something, and it will come to pass if you believe it in your heart and you speak it out your mouth. It'll come to pass just like faith. in the heart, spoken out the mouth, will come to pass. That's either good news or bad news, depending on where you are. So fear, is that a hindrance to faith? Is it a hindrance to healing? Absolutely. And we have people that are pretending they're in faith all the time, and when they're really just scared. They're doing scared confessions. The thing which I greatly... So he knew what it was. The thing I greatly feared came on me. Came to pass. He was well developed in it. You ever tried starting out in faith and it seems like you slip up and you say the wrong thing? And that comes to pass real quick. Right? But you've been working on this faith thing. I believe, I receive, I believe, I receive, I believe. And it seems like, oh, why isn't that coming to pass so fast? Because somebody's not as greatly developed in the faith side as they were in the fear side. And everything in the world and your thoughts and your relatives, they're all on the fear side. They're helping you along on this fear journey that you've been on. They shouldn't say, what faith are you? They should say, what fear are you? Hallelujah, because we have people that are really well developed in it. And then they're scared. I've heard people say this, oh, I would never say out my mouth that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, because what if the devil heard me? Then he's sure to put something on me. You've heard this. I've heard this. People say this. They're scared to do what God says because they're more afraid of the devil. This is what has to die. Okay? You have to be more confident in your God, who is the living God, than what anything the devil could do. To where that's just, you don't even care about it. Please. Depression. Recession. Gas prices. I don't care what it is. I'm not scared of it. How can you say that? Why? Because I have faith developed in God's word, which overcomes all the powers of the devil. All of them. I don't care what it is. Faith in God's word overcomes. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But people will get very developed in fear, and then it comes on them. The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Glory be to God forever. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of things you hope for. So fear on the opposite side of this would be what? Fear is a substance of things that you don't hope for. What did Job just say? The thing he greatly feared came to pass, and it came on him. It pursued him. Your words will pursue you. You put them out there, they'll come to pass, if you believe them, either good or bad. If you're afraid when you speak them, the fear is what brings it to pass. It is the substance of the thing. We've got to get this into our heads, people. What is the substance of your future? What are you going to walk in? It's either going to be framed by faith through your words and will come to pass, or through fear in your words and will come to pass. There is no gray area. There is no in between. We need to be making sure that we're on the faith side continually. Right? And so in that, is there any room for fear? We should be fear hounds. If we smell fear, and I'll take you to a scripture where Jesus did that. As soon as fear came up in the conversation, he sniffed it out like a hound. He cut it off quick. Cut it off. Anytime fear comes up, you know, you're believing God for something and the telephone rings, or, you know, a bill comes in the mail. Have you ever had that happen? Don't open that stupid thing up right then. If you don't know what it is and it's got red markings all over it and you're going, oh, 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 what comes on you? All of a sudden fear. Huh, you feel that thing jump up in your throat. Well, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. Don't be controlled by your circumstances. Don't be controlled by the phone calls. Don't be controlled by the things that come at you from the outer parts of the world. You control them with your faith. If you think there's something weird going on in that envelope that came to you, go get your scriptures out and put some faith in your mouth and believe God. And then, when you've got a little faith, open it up and you can laugh at it. That's the appropriate response. Ha, 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 ha. Why? Because you're dealing with it from your position and authority. Your position seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you're not acting out of character or perverted. You're acting as a true believer. You're acting as a true child of God in your nature and faith in God's word. That's who you are. Why would you act out of fear? Fear is a cuss word. It's even a four-letter word. We have none of it. None of it. We don't accept it. We don't receive it. No, thank you. Doesn't have anything to do with us. We're faith people. If you're going to be a faith person, you cannot have fear. They don't go together. They're absolute opposite forces. The devil works in fear. God works in faith. And if you're going to walk in faith, you can't walk in fear. Can't have it. Won't have it. In any area of your life, you reject it. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things not hoped for. Also the evidence of things not seen. People are afraid of stuff they don't see. Oh, a premonition. Something bad is going to happen. Yeah, and you just said that out your mouth. Don't ever do that. Something bad is going to happen. Yeah. You gave it license to happen. And when fear comes, you have the choice. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it come to pass? Are you going to let it rule you? Are you going to let fear rule you? Are you going to cut it down and stop it? People say, oh, well, I'm just trying to be reasonable. The doctor said such and so. He said I might need to have that cut out. Yeah, you can meditate on all the things the doctor says, and guess what that's going to do? It's going to develop your fear in that thing. You can meditate on the problem until it builds a faith in the opposite direction, that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I swear people have been doing that with the gas prices. Oh, it's going to go to $5 a gallon. Oh, it's going to go everywhere you go. They're all saying it. Oh, it's going to go to $5 a gallon. Oh, and then I'm going to go to $6 a gallon. It's like, and I'm saying, well, I don't care what it goes to. You're going to fill my tank. How about that? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Faith is the substance of things. Do you understand that? This isn't just, we're not just talking about wisps of air. It just blows away. It's a substance. It is a thing. The thing that Job greatly feared came on him. The very thing that he feared came to pass and came on him. On the faith side, the very thing. Isn't it amazing how accurate it is? Sometimes you'll pray for something and the exact thing that you prayed for came to pass. Same color. How is that? Because the exact thing that you gave substance to comes to pass. Fear is a substance. It doesn't, you can feel it sometimes, can't you? You ever feel the substance of fear? Oh man, it makes your hair stand up on the back of your head or neck. It has a substance. What are you going to do with it?
Receive it, brother.
Yield to it. No, you are going to stop it in its tracks. And you will never say anything out your mouth about it. Let that thing die. All right, go with me quick. Hallelujah. Luke 8. We got a ways to go here, but this is going to be good. If you can get some of these principles here, you won't mess up when fear comes. Does fear come? It comes to everybody. It's one of the devil's tactics. He tries to come on you and scare you into, oh, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Your faith's not going to work. You better get to work because your faith's not going to work. Man, how many of you believe God for something or healing or something? Well, what if you don't? What if? What if it doesn't work? What if nothing? That's the first thing the devil says, isn't it? What if it doesn't work? What are the people going to think? Who cares? What are their thoughts? Just more nothing. It's all the devil's got to work with. If he can't get you to take his fear, he has no weapon against you. He has no substance that you can receive. He's got nothing. He comes up and tries to scare you into thinking that God's word is not going to work for you this time. Well, it might have worked last time, but this time you've done something wrong. It's not going to work. No, it works every time. Why? Because I believe God and I don't listen to fear mongers. So get out of here. Right? Hallelujah. Did you get there yet? Luke 8:40. Did Jesus walk by faith? Or did he walk by sight? He's always scared about what he saw, the way things were. Always cowering in a cave with the glorious bride church, the cave dwellers. That's why he's attracted to cave dwelling perverted Christians. No. No, I can't believe he said that. Well, stick around. Hallelujah. You ain't heard nothing yet. Glory be to God. Luke 8. Because I'm not here to please people, by the way. I'm happy if I go home and I've said what I believe God told me to say. That's what makes me happy. Whether people like it or not, it doesn't really matter to me. Hallelujah. Well, that's good, brother. Talking like that, you might irritate somebody. Yes. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Who'd they throng? Jesus. He had all these people thronging him, and here's Jairus, 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, and she was laid dying. You think he was scared? Oh, yeah. You think he was at the end of his... He's the ruler of the synagogue. He should not be there at Jesus' feet. By any stretch of the imagination, they're going to kick him out of the synagogue, and he's not going to get his pension anymore. You think he was scared? Oh, he was scared. He had one last hope. How many people do you think come to Jesus with a sickness that if they don't get Jesus to heal them, then they're goners? It's all over. Why they wait that long, I don't know. Maybe that's just what it takes to get them that far. But was Jairus scared? He was terrified. Hallelujah. For he had only one daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. She was a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And, right in the middle of this story, a woman who shouldn't even be out in public, mind you, was up here taking a healing that maybe Jairus wanted. Hallelujah. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of her blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." He perceived that a substance went out of him. What did we know what she had? She had faith to be healed. What was the faith? It was the substance that came out of Jesus that made manifest the thing in her physical body. It was substance. You can feel it. And he felt it go out. Right? That wasn't what he was, when he didn't really, you know, who touched him. I don't think it was the touch that he felt. He couldn't have felt that. Everybody pushing on him just feels somebody touching his garment. He felt that force, that substance that was obtained by faith go out from him. Don't tell me it's not a substance. Hallelujah. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto
before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. Hallelujah. While he yet spake, go in peace. There cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master anymore. Where was Jairus at this point? That was devastating news. He was scared before, and that was it. When they came and said that, what would that have done to Jairus's countenance? What would that have done to Jairus's heart? It would have gone up in his throat. You probably could have seen it. Come on. That would have been it. Some people just faint right there. What did Jesus say in this? Jesus knew what was going on. Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So, what did he do? He cut it off quick. And you're going to have to do the same thing. When fear comes to try to take away the thing that's in your heart that you're believing God for, he'd already gone and asked Jesus. He already said, Please come. Please help me. And then all this distraction came around. Ooh, distraction. Try to get you off your course. What did Jesus do when that big fear came? He was already afraid of stuff. But then this big, giant wave of fear came to just blow him over and totally wipe him out. What did Jesus say? Cut it off quick. Cut it off quick. Right then. Just don't even listen to it. Nope. Blah, 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 blah. He said, fear not. You have to do this consciously. You have to make yourself not fear or not afeared. And it's no fun sometimes, is it? Scared of the big barking giant dog. Rah, 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 rah. You have to make yourself not afraid. Stand up to that thing. Even if you look like you're afraid. Just don't let anybody know. What's the one way you're not going to let anybody know? You're going to zip it. You're going to keep your mouth shut. Well, Pastor, what do you do if I really am feeling this fear and it's tangible? You're going to shut up. You're going to be quiet. You're not going to say anything. Let's just see what Jairus did here. And while he yet spake, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue's house saying, Trouble not the master. Your daughter is dead. But when Jesus heard it, Jesus heard this. And when he heard it, not 2 days afterwards, I have a good idea, Jairus. I've worked up a plan. No, when he heard it, what did he hear? What was the thing that tingled Jesus' ear? He heard the fear. He heard it. And can you hear fear? Can you hear fear in people's voices? Oh, yeah. Can you hear fear in your own head? I know you can. Usually it starts out, what if? Yeah, but. What are you going to do when the what if and the yeah, but? I know you prayed. I know you believed God. I know you prayed in Jesus' name and you believed you received what you had when you prayed and you forgive people when you're praying. Yeah, but. Where are you going to cut it off? Right at the yeah, but. Cut it off at the but. The yeah part's all right. Cut the butt off. Hallelujah. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, Fear not. If that fear got a grip of Jairus, I'm telling you, his daughter would not have made it. Or why would Jesus say this? He could have said, Oh, fear away. Doesn't matter. I'm Jesus. I can do anything. I can walk on water to your house. And there isn't even water on the way. I'm Jesus. No, he told him what he had to do. If he didn't do this, the miracle wouldn't happen. Don't you understand? That's what you must do, the word. Jesus is the word. He said, fear not. Is he going to tell him something to do that he can't do? Must be. It's within your capacity and ability to not fear. Oh, but I'm afraid. That's your problem. You need to not be afraid. You need to fear. Do you know how many times the Bible says that? Fear not. Almost every time an angel shows up or God shows up or says something, he says, fear not. And why is it? Because you were afraid of something. And he showed up and he said, don't be afraid. Do this. Don't be afraid. Do this. He said the same thing to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Don't react to that fear. Ignore the fear. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. Why do you think he put them all out? Because they were in unbelief. There's a Nazareth of unbelief right in that bedroom. Get them out. All wept, all bewailed her, and he said, weep not, she's not dead but sleeps. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. He put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise, and her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Give her some meat. Hallelujah. Quit feeding her that pablum you've been giving her before. No wonder she died. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no one what was done. This is going to be a key in your life, especially the farther you go in faith. You think it's going to be easier on the fear side? You think the devil's going to just take it easy on you now? Well, he's going to have to, because you're going to rub his nose in if you learn these things. When fear comes, what are you going to do? You're going to yield to it? You're going to talk about it? What did Jairus say? What did he say? What does the Bible say that Jairus said? When Jesus said, fear not, only believe. The very next verse says exactly what Jairus said. Nothing. It doesn't record him saying another word. Not another single syllable came out your mouth. And if you can learn that lesson, just shut up. Fear comes, don't give it place. It will die unborn unless you give voice to it. It's a substance trying to take hold of you, and you're not going to have anything to do with it. I don't like that substance. I like the faith substance because I'm a believer. Matthew 14:24. Glory be to God. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. He was just walking along on the sea. And the winds were contrary. Didn't seem to bother him too much. Maybe it was more fun to walk on contrary waves. I don't know. It's like the first surfboard guy. If it was just glassy smooth, that wouldn't be exciting. Hallelujah. He came walking on the sea. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. What did they see? They saw a ghost, is what they saw. Here's Jesus walking on the sea, and he's probably glowing. Remember, he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. We know he's been there before, where his raiment was shining like the sun. He probably had been back to the same place many times. Now he's coming down on the water, just keeps going, walking on the water. He was probably still glowing, and these people are in the boat, and there's an old wives' tale that if you see a ghost and you're on the sea, it's a bad omen. It's something, you're going to die. Now, that's why they were scared. They all saw it. They all saw this ghost walking on the water, probably coming towards them, and they thought they were going to die. Freaked them right out. They were screaming like little babies, like little girls. Peter. They cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. What did he say? Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? What does your Bible say? He was what? He was afraid when he saw the wind boisterous. What did that have to do with walking on the water? If it was a calm wind? Everybody can walk on the water when it's calm. But when the wind's boisterous, whoo, then that makes it much more difficult. Didn't seem to bother Jesus, did it? Jesus liked it. What did Peter see that caused him to be afraid? He saw something on the outside saying, you can't do this. This is impossible. He wasn't looking on the inside. He wasn't looking at faith. He was looking on the outside, which is where fear comes from. If you're a born-again believer, fear never comes on the inside of you. There's nothing in there that's afraid. You're a world overcomer. You're the dominator. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's nothing in you that's afraid of anything ever. You're like, bring it on. But where's this fear come from? Peter just showed you. He looked out and he saw something and then fear came in. It comes from the outside, never from the inside. Everybody say, never,
never.
From the inside. I'm afraid of that, brother. Well, stop it. No, you aren't. You know, some people are afraid of success. Afraid of everything. Well, if things go too well, then something's bound to happen bad. That's what Job was saying. He was afraid. He had so much. He had so much to be afraid of. Too much is going good. Something's got to be going wrong. Something's got to be... They're afraid of success. They're afraid that something is going to happen. It's still fear, and it's a substance, and if they receive it, it will. People are prophesying their own doom out their mouth because they're receiving the fear that's coming to them from the outside and not the inside. From the inside, go with that. We know that here, don't we? Children of God are led by the Spirit of God, the inward witness. And the inward witness will always witness with faith and never fear. And you'll see that if you can calm down the outside. But the problem is many times you're in circumstances where the outside is uproarious. And the wind is contentious. And it's contrary. It's blowing up stuff all over you. I'm supposed to be walking on this water and water splashing against me. This makes no sense. Your mind will try to reason things out, and then pretty soon you get scared because you've been sucked into the wrong realm, the realm where fear can breed and germinate and produce its evil fruit. Hallelujah. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Where did he doubt? When he started paying attention to his outward circumstances. When he received that fear. Where did you become afraid? He asked him that. What point did you become afraid? It's when he looked out and he saw how impossible it was. So don't do that. That should be a key to you, especially when you're believing God. Don't look at your ugly relatives when they're sitting there boisterous in your face, spewing up the sea on you. That's right. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I have a substance that's greater than that substance. Hallelujah. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Numbers 13:17. Unbelief will keep you out of the blessings of God. Unbelief is a hindrance. And fear is a big part of that. Fear will cause unbelief. What did Jesus just say to Peter? Where did the unbelief, where did the little faith come in? It's because of the fear. It choked it out. Chokes out the word and it becomes unfruitful. What is a huge hindrance to healing? Fear. And what are they afraid of? What are people afraid of? They're afraid of the sickness, but they're afraid it's going to get worse. They're afraid they're not going to be healed. And it has a substance. Guess what? If they don't get a hold of faith, what happens? They're right. Their prophecy comes to pass. It's amazing. Just go to the hospital. They'll take care of it. They'll tell you all the reasons. They'll tell you all the symptoms. They'll give you all the bad news. And you can meditate on it. And then they'll give you all the really bad news after you have to pay for it. You surround yourself with that, you're going to get nothing but worse. The substance of that will come to pass. You ever wonder why people go to the hospital and they went in there fine and died?
They're waiting for a toothache.
Died of leukemia and a brain hemorrhage. How'd that happen? They're in an environment of fear. They're in an environment of sickness. They're in an environment of unbelief. This fear is tangible. Don't hang out where there's fear. Get out of there. You sense fear, get away from you. It has nothing to do with you. You sense faith? Did Jesus sense faith? Did he sense the substance of faith coming out of him? I'm telling you, it's a substance. Have you ever been scared? Have you ever felt that? I know you have. Everybody has. It's a substance. If you yield to it, people die from that. Scared him too. Where do you think? They just made up that term, or does that actually happen? It actually happens. So what would be the opposite of that? He believed unto life. We know this. You can have faith unto life. You can have fear unto death. Pursue it to your own will. Which do you want? Choose life, by the way. Which do you want? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Numbers 13:17. You guys getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Yeah. We all want to be spies. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. Now, don't you see, this is God giving Moses these instructions of how to do it. Don't just walk up there, knock on the front door, look through the peephole. This is God giving supernatural instructions of how to sneak into the land and spy it out. I think that's great. God knows how to be a spy. And go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwellest therein, whether they be weak or strong, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. What do you think he's doing here? Counting the cost. He's looking at it. He goes, hey, how are we gonna attack this beast? And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, wood. And be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. It took two people to carry a bunch of grapes. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You think after 40 days they had a good idea what was going on in the land? Probably wanted to move in at that point with all those grapes. And they went and came to Moses and unto Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, unto Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. What did Caleb hear in these words? And what did Caleb do when he heard those words? He stopped him. He shooed him down. He said, Shh. Stop it. Stop talking that garbage. Ooh, they're so big. Ooh, they're so strong. Ooh, we can't do it. Was he a man of faith? Was Caleb one of the two that entered the promised land? Yes, he was. Why? Because he didn't yield to the fear. What happened to all the rest of them? They all died in the wilderness. Why? What caused them to not enter the promise? What was the hindrance to their faith? It was fear. And they meditated on it, and they said it out their mouth, and they kept talking about it. Probably for 40 days. Did you see how big the Anakim are? They look like really good fighters. Hear, you got to hear fear. When you hear somebody talking fear, you've got something else to do. See ya. Oh, my phone, it's not picking up. I lost all my bars. Why are you doing that? Because you are a faith person, and it has no place in you, ever. If you want to enter the promised land. This is what kept them out. The Bible says unbelief, but fear is what caused the unbelief. Fear was the root of the unbelief. They were afraid. And they perceived and they saw and they listened to and they looked at the Anakim as they were out there playing their war games. Sometimes you just got to shut that garbage off. Turn it off. Pay no attention to it. And then call things that be not as though they were. On the faith side. Not on the fear side. Hallelujah. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Where did he get this? He could not have been hanging out with the 40. They must have spread around. Who do you want to be with? What group do you want to be? The group that enters the land? You want to be the group that enters the glory? You want to be the group that enters in and stays? Or you want to hang out with those who just want to say it's impossible. It's impossible to be healed. And by the fact, you know, that sickness you've got there, medical science can't do anything about it. Good. They just want to cut it off anyway. You should be happy when you come to the end of your rope. There's nothing else but you looking for God. And don't fear. Grab onto what God said and build faith in it. Hallelujah. You guys getting this? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. That's you. You're going to have to do the same thing. When you hear people talk in faith, they won't like being corrected. Well, they can get used to it. If they're going to talk fear, they're going to spout fear, they're going to talk negative things, you're not going to have anything to do with it. You shut them right off. Zoop. That's it. It's over with this conversation. Well, that's just not nice. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want God? Do you want healing? Especially if it comes to healing. People want to sit around and talk about your, you know, whatever it is. Your problem. You going to sit there and listen to it? You're going to sit there and acknowledge that conversation. That's what they did for 40 days. They talked about how terrible it was. Well, look at how great the land is. Yes, the land is great and these grapes are yummy. But the people in it, they're so strong. And the cities, they're walled. How do you get through a wall? I mean, God delivered us from Egypt. We could be meditating on that. Like Caleb had to. He had to be meditating on what God could do and would do. You meditate on that, pretty soon all your circumstances look small and insignificant. Looks like just another mountain that could be moved by the hand of God. He does it all the time. Who entered into the promised land and who didn't? The people who had faith. The people who wouldn't have anything to do with fear, and they stilled them. You got to still them, especially in your own mind. You may not be able to shut somebody up from saying the stuff, but you've got to still it in your own head. Still it in your own ear. When fear's coming in, still it. Go in the other direction. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Glory be to God forever. We're well able to take it. Hang around with people and say, yeah, we can do this. We may be a bunch of hodgepodge people, but we've got God, and that means we win. Every time, we win. I don't care what you have, we win. Because I've got God on my team. It's like showing it up at a basketball game. They're all preschoolers. Except you and Michael Jordan. Who wins? And I'm bad at basketball. We still win. Preschoolers. That's what fear is compared to faith. That's what darkness is compared to light. Darkness, ooh, it's so cold and clammy, it's scary. Darkness is scary. Ooh. Until you turn the light on, what happened to the darkness? It's like, where'd it go? Who was scared? The darkness. And if you get this, you'll understand. What do you think of God? Does God work by faith? Does he live in faith? Does he believe what he says? What do you think about the devil? We could laugh over this all night long. What does he work in? Fear. Do you think he lives by fear? Do you think he's afraid? Oh my goodness. Draw that card on him every time. Boo. Because he lives in darkness. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. You know, even the demons came and cried up to Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? The time! The time! They all know about the time. They're talking about the time. They don't know how to stop talking about the time because that's what they live in. They breathe it. That's what they are. They're made out of fear. Just like everything in God is out of faith, the devil's scared. He is scared. He is fear. That's why the reaction when he shows up in your room makes you scared, because he's just putting off what he's got. You don't get that glowy, warmy, confident feeling that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like, yoo-hoo. That's just him coming off on you. Remember that. He can only give you what he's got. That's why it's fear, because he is afraid. He is fear. You want some of that, or are you going to reject it? Are you going to cut it off? This is what was so stinky here about the 12 people that went in. They were chosen to go in. They certainly weren't chosen to go and get a come back with a bad report. They should have came back with faith. God's able to deliver us, and this is wonderful. They should have had their eyes on the prize, what I think is what God was trying to tell them. Go look at the houses. Go look at the land. Go look at the milk. Go look at the honey. Don't go in there and look at, ooh, how terrifying those people are. We'll never be able to do it. What are you going to do? You're going to shut that off. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bring it on. Yeah, but you're not very big. I don't care. Bring it on. I'll bite them in the kneecap until they fall down. Then they're my size. Scared of me anyway. And they're scared of you. The smallest, the most insignificant one of us in the kingdom of God, the devil is frightened to death, literally, over you. He's scared of you. You got him shaken. Because he is fear. What's he afraid of? Himself. His kingdom. Everything. He's losing everything. His hair's falling out by the second. He wakes up terrified every day. What a miserable lot in life. Hallelujah. Or in death, whatever it is. Did you find that? Hebrews 2, 14. You probably already read it. You people. You Bible hounds. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through what? Through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivered you from the fear of death. What else is there? What's the ultimate thing here? What's the ultimate thing that people are afraid of? Death. Death by taxes. Death by taxis. Death by dog bites. Death by sickness. Death by hangnails. Death by relatives. It's all death. That's the culmination of it. Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death and then delivered all of us who through the fear of death were subject to bondage. Guess what that means? You're no longer subject to the bondage of fear. Fear has no hold over you in Christ Jesus. You're not subject to it anymore. Why? Because it's not part of your kingdom. What kingdom are you in? God's or the devil's? Faith or fear? You're no longer subject to fear unless you choose to be. Don't choose to be. That scares me, brother. Stop it. Don't be afraid of success, because when you start understanding these things, you will never lose. The only thing the devil has is fear. It's the only thing he can get you to go to. Fear this so that you can bring to pass his evil plan. What's God doing? He's trying to get you to act like who you are. The born again child of God. The priest and the king seated in the heavenly places in the name of Jesus, far over and above all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, spirit wickedness in high places and every name that is named. That's you. What are you scared of? What could you possibly be scared of? Nothing. It has nothing to do with you. There's nothing in you that's scared. No wonder the devil's freaked out. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. No more bondage. Everybody say, no more bondage.
No more bondage.
What is the bondage? What are they in bondage to? The fear of death. It could be the best thing that happened to you. It could be, if you died, if we all died right now, right here, right now, we'll have a death line. If we all died right now, well, where would you go? Heaven. It could be, that would be the best thing. Paul said that. It's better for me to go than to stay out here and hang out with you. And I love that. But he decided, I guess I'll stay because it's better for you if I stay. It's so nice of him. But he said it would be better if he just went. Just go. I don't care how good you got it down here. It's better up there. But we've been delivered from the bondage. The bondage was what? There's a key to this bondage. It's fear. And fear of death. If you have no fear of death, what are you scared of? The dogs. No. What are they going to do? Bite you to death? What would that take? An hour? Big deal. After that, where are you? You're in glory with no dogs. Jesus is Lord. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus took that away. He nailed it to the cross. You no longer have the bondage of the fear of death. It's gone. Yeah, but brother, I'm scared to death. No, you aren't. You may think you are, but you're not. If you're born again, it doesn't have any bondage or hold on you. You can care less. Unless you're giving it place. Don't give it place. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. It's a key. Let's finish this out real quick. Psalms 34. How do I walk in this, brother? It sounds wonderful. If I could just get the fear out. There is no fear in you. Understand this. Fear comes from the outside. It's coming on you to try to get you to receive it. Never do it. No, thank you. Return to sender. Don't sign for it. How do you sign for it? With your mouth. The UPS guy brings you a package and it looks like something you don't want. It's ticking. Tick, 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 tick. No, I don't want that. Don't sign for it. Send it back. Return to sender. Devil comes, tries to bring some package of fear. Look at that. Nice brown box of fear. What are you going to do? Sign for it? Oh, that must be mine. It was in the family for years. I knew it was coming. I knew this was coming. I knew the day was coming. That this package of fear was coming. That which I greatly feared finally came. You going to sign for it?
No.
You're going to reject it. That's not my box. Next door. Andrew lives next door. I've never heard of that man before. Hallelujah. You there, Psalms 34? Glory be to God forever. Now I'm going to tank you up. I hope you're ready for this. Psalms 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from what? All your fears. Can God do that? How could he do that if he didn't have more power than fear? Exactly. Because he's God. And he doesn't have any fear. He's going to deliver you from it. Into what? What do you think he's delivering you into? Faith. Seek the Lord. He'll deliver you into faith. He'll deliver you into healing. He'll deliver you. Psalms 112, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. What is his heart? It's fixed, trusting in the Lord. How can you be afraid if your heart is fixed? You can't even receive fear. It's like not compute, does not compute. Shouldn't you be afraid? I don't understand. What did you say? Shouldn't you be afraid? I don't understand those words. I don't understand fear. I'm born of faith. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith God. I believe God. I don't understand fear. This doesn't make any sense. Why would I be afraid? If God's for me, who can be against me? You're going to win. Every time we win. Every say, I win. Every time. Why would I be afraid? You could have plenty of opportunity to receive fear. Moses, they could have been afraid when they came up to the Red Sea and the army was behind them. But God made a way where there was none before. You can just expect it. God's on your side. You win every time. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Your heart is fixed. Brother, I've been fixed. I can't go any other way. I've been fixed. I can't go towards fear anymore. I've been fixed. I run out of here tonight going, I've been fixed. I've been fixed. What happened to you at church? Well, we all got fixed. What are you fixed from? You can't have fear anymore. You're fixed. Forget about it. It's not part of you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Can't come on you. It doesn't exist in the kingdom you live in. Is there any fear in heaven?
Well, there's a scary side of heaven.
No, there's no scary side of heaven. You've been fixed. We're going to have to edit this one. I don't know. Had the perverted Christians. Now we're all fixed. Hallelujah. My heart is fixed. Psalms 91. You all right? You guys in a hurry? I'm scared I won't have enough time. Stop it. You have plenty of time to do everything you need to do. You're a faith man. You're a faith woman. This is easy. We win. Hallelujah. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. I will what of the Lord? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You're going to say that? What place does fear have in that? You're going to say it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hallelujah. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Well, what about the bird flu? Surely he shall deliver. What are you saying? I dwell with this in the secret place of the Most High. Surely he shall deliver me from the noisome pestilence. It's a noisome pestilence.
Hallelujah.
I'm sure the bird flu is very noisy. Quack, 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 quack. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. See? And from the noisome pestilence he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be what?
Afraid.
Huh? Huh? Why? Because you're in the secret place of the Most High, and the Lord's delivering you from every noisome pestilence and the fowls. He's delivered you from it. I shall not be afraid. Thou shalt not be. Thou shalt not be afraid of for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. You can stand in a field of arrows being thrown at you. None of them going to hit you. Because they're all cross-eyed. The enemy's all cross-eyed. They can't see straight. They think you're standing there and they're shooting over there and they're shooting each other. What, God's confusing them. How can you say that? Because I'm told to say it. I will say this. I will say it. Brother, I'm scared to say it. See, then you're functioning on the wrong king. You gotta say it. And when you say it, you have it. This is how you abide under the wing. Don't keep running out from under the wing. Get back under the wing.
Hallelujah.
The terror by night. You shall not be afraid. I shall, everybody say, I shall not, be afraid
for the terror
by night.
Huh.
I shall not be afraid of the terror by night.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psh. We shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Put that one on your confession list. Hallelujah. Nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks. Where's he walk?
In
darkness. What gets rid of a pestilence in darkness?
White.
The light. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh me. It shall not. It shall not.
Come
nigh me. It shall not. Can you develop yourself in this stuff? Absolutely. Can you all memorize it as a family? Yes, I knew you did. Yeah. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Think of this attitude at this point. Lions, poisonous snakes, dragons, bring them on. I'll trample them under my feet. It doesn't sound like fear to me. Thou shalt not be afraid. Why don't we take these as one of the commandments? We need to if we're going to be faith people. I shall not be afraid. I shall not be. I shall not be. And I'll trample lions. Bring them on. Lions? Yeah, lions. You turn into Mr. Giant and you start walking by faith. You think you can beat up anybody with a shoestring? Bring them on, Hell's Angels. And motorcycles. Long as I got a flip-flop, they're in trouble. What did Samson do with a jawbone of an ass? Right? He didn't have anything else as long as I got, well, this. Hey, March, I just, bring it on! What's he got? Some kind of high-tech weaponry? Had teeth on it, and it bit him. He bit them all. Don't get my donkey to bite you. Hallelujah. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall you trample on. Dragons! They don't even exist, man! But I'm going to trample them under my feet! Fire-breathing winged creatures, bring them on! They're going down too. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm under God's wing. And I can do all things. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will, I will, I will, I will. He keeps saying, I will. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is you. The fear of everything else is way, 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 way below that. You're walking with God in his world? Please. Lions, adders, imaginary dragons, dark pestilences. Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death and delivered us from the bondage of the fear of death. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say? What shall we then say to these things? We have something to say. What if we just decide not to say? Sometimes, like I said, sometimes in the midst of a battle, sometimes in the midst of a storm, you're best not to say anything until you can say the right thing. If the first thing is going to come out of your mouth is fear, then take that breath and shut it. But what shall we then say to these things? Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't care what the thing is. I don't care if it's a noisome pestilence. I don't care if it's a night thing. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a sickness. I don't care if it's the depression. I don't care what it is. If God's for you, who can be against you? You're a faith person. You live by faith. Nobody can stand against that. And the devil, all he's got is this trickery and tomfoolery. Whatever that is. And I read it somewhere. But all he's got is smoke and mirrors. He's got darkness, which is dissipated by light rather easily. All he needs is a little candle. This room could be packed, packed full of darkness. I mean, just stuffed in as much darkness as you can cram in here. One little match. Look at the darkness go. I'm scaring it. I'm scaring it. I'm scaring it. It's nothing. Fear is nothing unless you give it place, and you got to give it place with your words. So zip it, shut it off, cut it off, just like Caleb, just like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus. When you hear fear, stop it, cut it off. Fear not, believe. Fear not, believe. Fear not, believe. Which side are you on? Well, I'm on the believing side. Then fear not is your middle name. I'm Mr. Fear Not. My last name, Believe. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness Ooh, if I'm naked, I'll be separated. No. Nakedness or peril. Perilous times, brother. Perilous times. What are we going to do? Who? It's perilous times. If God be for us, who can be against us? Perilous times? Come on. We got God. Peril away. Yeah, you got perilous times. I got the glory. It's just getting better for me because I've got God. And we're not living by your perilous times. Oh, hallelujah. Peril or sword? As it is written, for all the sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay! You ever hear people talk about that scripture? We're counted as sheep for the slaughter all the day long. Nay! That means no. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than a conqueror through all these things. Nay, that's what I say. Fear comes. No, no, won't have no. None of it's not coming near me. Hallelujah. I am more than a conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. See? People are scared of living. They're scared of death and they're scared of the devil's freaked out by everything. He's scared of shoelaces. That's why he can chase them off. He's scared of everything. That's all he is fear. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's pretty good. Things to come. Wouldn't it be tomorrow? You know how many people are scared of tomorrow? What's tomorrow going to bring? And men's hearts are failing for the things that are coming. Failing. That's because they're not walking here. What shall we say to these things? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Things to come. This just told you you're going to be a conqueror tomorrow. For today, you're a conqueror. Right now, you are a conqueror. And tomorrow, you're a conqueror. And guess what comes after tomorrow? Tomorrow, and you're just constantly a conqueror. That's it for you. I guess you get to win. Every time, I win every time. Everybody say, I win every time. I'm more than a conqueror. I know what to do. I know where to go. And I win every time. Hallelujah. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height.
I'm scared of height.
Nor depth. I'm scared of depths. Nor any other creature. I'm scared of creatures. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to break through that barrier of love and faith. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, that you destroyed him who had the power of death, that you have delivered us from the fear of death and delivered us from all the bondage that went along with it. Thank you that we are more than conquerors in your blood, in your name, and we shall live victorious every day. Today, tonight, tomorrow, and all of the other tomorrows, we shall live victorious in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, and in the glory of God on this earth, that you can be glorified in Jesus' name, and we put all evil under our feet. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Brebado ligangrozubo van saute kubula prech harihigi heid nobo hastanaba.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.